Now, as we look into our passage this morning, I have limited time because we have so many things for the fathers, especially later. How many of us, as fathers, we are prepared to be a father? Raise up your hand. How many of us go through this book? We are pregnant now. Dad's Guide to Pregnancy, Dummy Series, Dad's Guide to Baby's First Year, Being a Great Dad for Dummies. How many of us fathers actually read through these books and sort of get a certificate first before being a father? How many? I am not. Just like mothers, just like other parents, fathers, we are called to the role most of the time not prepared. The first news that we get is, for my wife, I'm pregnant. Then immediately you upgrade yourself to be a father. And of course, there are many different experiences as a father. You know, this is my first bottle feeding experience. This was the first encounter that we have with Krista because she was in NICU for about 4 days. She's underweight and all these complications. So we, as parents, first-timers again, we don't know where to look for, who to look for, who to talk to, but we just trusted in God and in the doctors. So this was my experience, first bottle feeding experience, very fragile, very soft. And of course, as time goes by, you notice that the children have a different, different face to their parents, right? On the left, this is how Krista show, or, you know, the face, facial expression when she is with the mom. And when she is with the dad, you notice that she is giving you this look. Such an obvious difference, right? So being a parent, at least being a father on my side, it was challenging. But you're not alone, dear fathers. I have this book that I truly treasured. It gives me a glimpse of what fatherhood is like, especially in the Christian context. And Paul David Tripp, the author of this book called Parenting 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. That book is my treasure. And one of the very impactful words or sentence that he has is, nothing is more important in your life. Nothing is more important in your life than being one of the God's tools to form a human soul. That is the role of the father, which is to form a human soul, which is to nurture the children under our care in the likeness of Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the role. That is the direction, and that is the sacred call that God has given to all fathers. So once again, let me introduce to you my children. They are not here. They are in the main church. Krista Tan, Christine Tan, and Kristen Tan. Now, you are going to be amazed at how AI can help you with all this. The individual photos at the top, 3 person, it is from our photo. And we just give AI certain instructions. And Celine's older brother managed to come up with such a wonderful picture. And if you are in the certain small group that we are in, and we wish Father's Day, we are using this photo to wish all fathers happy Father's Day today. Now, 3 children, 5 years old, 3 years old, 1 year old, a long, 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 long way to go. For the many grandparents, as they, you know, talk to me, they are motivating me, saying that everything will be fine. But when you're in the shoe of a parent having 5, 3, and 1 year old kid, everything is not fine. That is why we need to have a bigger picture and the bigger picture of a parenting worldview. It is not just providing for the kids under our care. It is not just making sure that they have enough money, enough food, enough education, enough clothing. It is more than that. It is more than that. So what we need is a bigger picture of the parenting worldview which we are required to explain to our children, which we are required to guide our children, which we are called to motivate anything that God has called us to do as parents. And we are to impart all of this to our next generation. Now, it's going to be hard. Just like songs, you know, you have, the soprano, there are different sections in a choir. And as the different sections come together, there are ups, there are downs. Just like a parent, a father's life, there are ups in our life, there are downs in our life. But nevertheless, the Lord is with us. So if you have your Bible with you, may I ask that you turn to the scripture today that is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. We are going to look through this passage. We are going to look through, after this, what are some of the mistakes that parents or other fathers may have done in the past, and how we can use this passage to realign what fatherhood is truly about. And prayerfully, this will be our survival kit if and when we are feeling lost, if and when we do not know what to do. Let me read to you the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." It is to our role, it is to impart everything that God has commanded us to our next generation. And according to Deuteronomy here, there are many, many ways that we can do that as parents. But very often, as parents, we started off with a wrong foot, right? We started off with ownership parenting. This is what the book described. Versus ambassadorial parenting. So sorry. All right, we are called to be an ambassador instead of being called to own our children. And these are some of the areas that we have made mistakes on in terms of their identity, or maybe in terms of our father's identity, our work, our success, and our reputation when we talk about our children. So when we talk about identity, a parent or a father who does ownership parenting, they will look to get his identity, his meaning, his purpose, and his inner sense of well-being from his children. Who I am is based on how good my children are. That is ownership parenting. But the scripture obviously calls us to be an ambassador, to be a steward of the children that God has blessed us. So an ambassadorial parenting, the parents of other, the father, they are secured, they are motivated, and they know that they represent the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the differences that we look at who Jesus is, and we get who we are from who Jesus is, who God is, never on our children. And the next one is work. You know, as ownership parenting, they would think the father's job is to turn his children into someone great. That is their main motivation, that is their main objective. Now, there is nothing wrong with that, but when you put this above what God has intended us to be a father, we will have a conflict there. Because our children will never be able to measure up to our expectations if we think that it is our job to turn them into somebody great and that is only. Ambassador understands that he is never anything more than a representative, meaning to say, fathers, we are the stewards of our family. That means the children that God has blessed us with, we are to take care of them and we are to show that we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We present God, we represent the shepherd in the family that God has called us to be. Now, some father, when we talk about success, they are working towards a specific category of indications in the lives of these children. Success can be measured in the sense of how well my children do in life. Oh, my son is a doctor. My daughter is an engineer, a lawyer. That is how ownership parenting will measure success, because they manage to bring forth a children that is of certain good qualities. Now, ambassador, on the other hand, they faces the scary truth that we have no power at all to produce anything in their children. And this is especially true today, where the children very often do not submit to the parents. Think about a family who uses iPhone or, you know, phones or media or social media or, you know, devices, and they give all these devices to the children very early in the stage of life. And when you want to discipline your child, what will happen? Most probably the child will retaliate, right? Throwing tantrums, and it is going to be really, really, really hard to discipline the child, especially for today, because they have access to the media at a very young age. And lastly, when we talk about reputation, the fathers will turn their children into his trophies. My son got this, my daughter got this, he is the first in the class of the whole school, etc. and etc. I used to have a lot of trophies at home. But they are just merely trophies. Who they are matters most to God. And ambassador will understand that parenting sinners, first and foremost, our children are sinners just like you and I. And parenting sinners will expose the parent, the father, to public misunderstanding and embarrassment. One of the most common ones is, yo, your daddy never teach you to greet others. Your daddy never teach you to say hi. Your daddy never teach you to smile. So this will happen, but as ambassador, we understand that they are merely sinners, and they too are work in progress. So together as a church, we have to understand that we are not designed to replace parents, but we are here as a church to assist, to equip, and to support parents in doing the work that only we can do as parents, which is to live and to understand the existence, the character, and the plan of God. We need to show all this to our children. We need to point all this to our children. Because if in the family we don't do that, are you expecting the world to do it for you? What is the world teaching our young generation today? As a parent, as a father, if you want your children to follow God, you must make God a part of your everyday experiences. So how can we do that? Very quickly, three C's. Very quickly, three C's. Taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. The first one, we need to confess. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. We need to confess in the family. Not confessing, you know, I've done wrong and all this, but to confess, to proclaim in our family setting, to our children, to our spouse, in our family setting, that there is only one God, the Lord is our God, and the Lord is one God. We need to, again and again, remind our children that we belong to this one God. And then that's where the church comes in. In the Sunday school, the church will teach, you know, this God of Israel, of the past, He's the same God that we are worshipping today. And in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the same God that we are worshipping today. And this is the God that I worship as a father. This is the God that I worship as a mother. This is the God that we worship as the parents of the family. And we need to confess this. We need to put this down to our children. Because the world will never teach you, or the world will never teach them, God is your God. The world is teaching them you can do whatever you like. The world is teaching them pursue your passion. The world is teaching them YOLO, you only live once. So do whatever you want. The world is teaching them all this. So it boils down to being a parent that we need to confess again and again and again and again that the Lord, our God, is the God that we worship every single day. So that's the first one, confession. Now the second one, commandment. This is what we have learned. It is very basic. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. We know all this as parents. We have gone through enough Sunday school. We have gone through enough of our journey of faith to understand all this. To love the Lord your God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength. Now the challenge is always, how do we show it in a family setting? Now the children today are different because they have experienced a few things. And one of the most perhaps damaging things is the period where we have gone through COVID. Now, why is it detrimental? Looking back, you know, back in 2020 until about 2023, the period of about 2-3 years' time, what do we show our children during this period of time? Yes, all of us, we are at home. We are spending even more time with the children at home. But do we show them our faith in the Lord during this time of uncertainties, insecurities? Are we showing doubts in our faith during this period of time? Because these 3 years are the time that they, your children, see you for who you are. And many of them, as they grow up, they realize that the world, the scripture, the Bible is not as perfect as what we tell them to be. The world, they see it first and foremost, especially during COVID time, is the reality. And what realities are they seeing from you as a parent? And we are dealing with many young people today that are suffering in a certain ways because of what they see during this 3 years' time in their parents. And the second one is the ongoing war that is coming, that's happening in the Middle Eastern country right now. And now they have access, as they grow up, they have access to all this media, they know what's happening. And what do we as a parent show in the family setting? When we say that we love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength, does it translate to something tangible? Do they see us doing it? Do they see us proclaiming it? Do they see us living it out in our life? The children today are different. Those days, as a children myself, as a child myself, we explore with friends. We touch things that are real. But today, everything seems to be hidden here. They have access to everything and anything. But at the slap, you know, at the swipe of the hand, you know, they can just move on to the next and the next and the next. And they keep finding what is interesting that is happening in their life. Parents, we need to be reminded that we are to confess that the Lord God is our God daily, every moment that we can, and that we are to live out the commandment of how we love the God that we say we love them. How do we do it? In our action. And lastly, consistent communication. Those days, you know, there are ways that the people teaches God's word. Right? Impress them on your children, talk about them. When you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, and write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now today, how do we consistently communicate the commandments of God? We usually just pass them to the Sunday school teachers. Once a week, for about 45 minutes, they are to learn all this. And then after that, they go back to their setting in the home, in the school, where most probably they will forget about it. And after 7 days, they will come back again for another jab of the spiritual truth of who God is. Now, parents, father especially, how do we consistently communicate that God is with us? One of the easiest ways for me is to have Christian music in the car. We spend about 2 hours in the cars daily because of jam. 1 hour to the school, 1 hour back home, on the way back. So that is the time where we communicate. I have drawing pads for them to, you know, to be occupied, to draw things. As they see what is outside of the window, they draw, right? And I also have, with the help of the teacher, Sunday school materials that they bring home after the Sunday school. We will keep reinforcing on that. And one of the best ways that we can communicate that God is with us is when we pray for parking. How many of you pray for parking? In front of the child. Asking the child to pray together, especially in 1U. That is some of the way that we can do, that we can remind that God truly is with us, that our God is a truly God who is alive. When we say that God never forsakes us, He will never leave us, show it. Show it to our children. And as parents, it is our very special role to remind them again and again, to communicate to them the commandments that God has given to us. So 3 C's. First C, to confess that the Lord God is one. The God that I worship is the God who is alive. And secondly, is to guide them to fulfill the commandment that God has given to us, to love Him with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and to communicate this consistently in whatever circumstances that God has placed it to us. So as parents, do material things, our pursuit of career success, some of the ministry decisions, some of the ministry commitments make it hard for us to faithfully play our role as a parent? Because church, sometimes we put church first and has neglected our role as a parent. God, first priority. Family, second priority. Third priority is your ministry. Your ministry. And that ministry includes the family as well. Now, as fathers, we are to wholeheartedly commit to God's commandments. We are called to diligently teach the commandments to our children. And as fathers, we are to strongly witness and testify of God's commandments before our children, the 3 C's. It is not too late to start now. Now, we are going to honor our fathers especially today, because today is Father's Day. So let us help our fathers not only to survive fatherhood, but let us help our fathers to do their best so that together we can excel in our fatherhood. So as I invite the fathers all to come up to receive the gift and after that to pray together, let us be reminded that fathers are humans. They require our support. They require our encouragement, our motivation. So may I invite all fathers to stand at the front here. We have a simple gift for you. And for the rest of us, let us get ready. If your father is up here, or if your husband is up here, we would like to encourage you to take a gift to them after this. So fathers, don't be shy. Come, 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 come. You are supposed to lead the family. Don't be shy. You cannot be shy. Those who are tall, please stand at the top. Those who are taller, please stand at the lower level. Once again, we want to use this opportunity as a church to appreciate all fathers. You can stand up. You can stand up. This next level. Yes, yes. Yes, you can stand up. Come. Okay, Uncle David, never mind. It's okay. Yeah. Okay, make sure everyone is here. Hi, Mr. Boone. Okay, come, come, come. Hi, Casey. Yeah, we're waiting for you. Don't worry, don't worry. Yes, yes. I understand. You're coming up all the way from the top. Brother Kwan. Okay, can we, what do we call this? Compress a bit. Come closer. Come closer. That's a better word. Can we come closer? Yes, yes. And you will notice that if, you know, in comparison, we don't have many fathers. We have a lot of mothers during Mother's Day. So fathers, we need to rise up, right? We need to rise up. We need to do something about this. We have more fathers, yes? All right, I'm going to ask for the family members to go to the side of the hall, whichever is nearest to you, pick up a gift and pass it to your husband, to your father, and wish them a blessed Father's Day. All right, you may start lining up and get the gifts for your respective fathers. And while they come up and give the gift, we are called to pray for the faith of our fathers. We are called to ask God to give them unshakable faith. And we are called to give them attention, pray for them for attention on what truly matters. Teach our fathers to prioritize, to invest their time wisely. Teach our fathers to give him eyes to see with an eternal perspective. Pray for our fathers to be fathers of integrity. That regardless of whether they are being watched or not, they too will honor God with who they are. Pray for our fathers' health. Keep them in good health. Make his bone and muscle strong, preserve his strength and vitality. Pray for our fathers to have good rest, good sleep. Pray for our fathers so that they can make good choices in areas that affect his... Oh, thank you. Thank you, Caris. Thank you. Pray too for their employment. Give our fathers meaningful work to do, a sense of purpose. And pray for our fathers' relationships. Fortify his family ties, provide him with friends who uplift and encourage him, help them to go get along with colleagues and co-workers, and we can definitely pray for our fathers, all the above. All right, anyone missing? All right, fathers, maybe you can just show a bit of the gift that you have. Yes. Yes, yes, I got it. Thank you, thank you. Sister Joyce. Okay, Ken. Okay, let's look at AJ. AJ first. One, two, three. Okay, next we have Julie. Look at Julie. One, two, three. All right, all the... Thank you, thank you. Let us all stand. Parents, fathers, not yet. Pray. All right. For the rest of us, shall we all stand? Just where we are. Let us reach out our hands to our fathers. We pray a prayer of blessings for them. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the fathers that you have given to each and every one of us. And then, Lord, we know that our fathers, they are not perfect. They have their flaws. They have their own weaknesses. But God, you are a perfect Father, and you will nurture them. You will continue to guide them and lead them. So, Lord, we pray for all fathers here to have good health, to have good sleep and good rest. That, Lord, you will grant them a sense of purpose to lead and nurture the children that you have brought under their care, to continue to lead the family. Because as fathers are healthy, as fathers arise in their roles to fatherhood, the whole church will be revived. So, Lord, we look forward to the day where the fathers will be leading all family members to worship you in spirit and in truth, to proclaim and confess that you are their God, and to teach the children to follow your commandments and to communicate all this daily and every moment of their life. So, Lord, we pray that you will continue to bless them with your love, with your joy, and with your peace. And continue to use them as a channel of blessings to the people around them, especially their family members. Lord, we pray that they will be present in all circumstances, in all situations, and in all the celebrations, even in the family. That, Lord, you will make them present. And they will be able to hear their children, the spouse, and be there for them, to encourage them, to motivate them, and to be a model for them. Lord, we want to thank you for all fathers here who are the provider of the family, who are the protector of the family. And Lord, we know that your presence will continue to be with them as you provide for the family for them, and as you continue to protect their family as well. So Lord, we know that you are our Heavenly Father, and we can trust in your word that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So Lord, we ask that you will continue to help us as fathers to work together. Because Lord, together we gain strength. Together we are united. Together we are stronger. We thank you for all fathers here. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated.